the Public News Service Daily Newscast for August 31st, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Advocates for low-income families are promoting guaranteed income programs as a way to give people the flexibility they need to get better jobs and improve their standard of living.
The Just Income Program in Gainesville, which launched in January, is giving 115 formerly incarcerated people $1,000 to start, plus $600 a month for 11 months. Kimberly, a mother of two, participates in a guaranteed income program for single moms called Magnolia Mothers Trust in Jackson, Mississippi.
It's just hard, and you keep working and you keep going, but things just never seem to change. So that did give me a lot of hope, knowing that there are programs out there that are willing to help and get mothers out of that continuous cycle that they're going through.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
This story was produced with original reporting from Katie Fleischer at Ms. Magazine. A 2020 report from the American Association of University Women found 90% of Florida households headed by a black single mother are considered economically insecure. That means they don't earn enough to meet their family's basic needs. One goal of youth and family support services is to keep kids out of juvenile detention. But for those accused of serious crimes, Pennsylvania doesn't have enough space in its detention centers. Danielle Smith reports it's being described as a crisis.
A report by the Juvenile Court Judges Commission outlines the effect of facility closures on accessibility to services. Since 2006, some 15 juvenile detention centers have closed in the state. Dr. Abigail Wilson with the Pennsylvania Council of Children, Youth, and Family Services explains a few factors that have contributed to the lack of available beds.
Sometimes the youth need doesn't match the facility that they're being sent to. Sometimes there's staffing challenges because in detention centers, there has to be a certain staff to youth ratio. And if they can't meet that, they can't continue to accept youth. There's sometimes medical concerns that can't be addressed at the facility.
She says most recently, COVID has added to the complications. There are now 14 facilities providing secure detention services across the state, and 61 of the 67 counties must vie for beds at just seven of them.
Political reports, world leaders, including Russian President Vladimir Putin, paid tribute to Mikhail Gorbachev, the last leader of the Soviet Union, following Gorbachev's death on Tuesday. Political reports, Putin expressed condolences following Gorbachev's death, according to a statement sent by the Russian news agency Interfax. Gorbachev oversaw the end of the Cold War and subsequently the end of the Soviet Union. This is PNS. As of yesterday, folks in Iowa can begin requesting absentee ballots for the upcoming midterm elections. As the process takes shape, advocates for people with disabilities hope the state is done enacting voter restrictions.
In 2021, the state adopted a series of election policy changes, including reducing the early voting period and limiting who can help deliver an absentee ballot. Brooke Lovelace with the Iowa Developmental Disabilities Council says those are on top of barriers these individuals routinely face when trying to vote.
Transportation to the voting places is always an issue, and sometimes the voting places still are not accessible, and the poll workers may not be completely trained on how to best support a person with a disability.
Lovelace says they want state lawmakers to realize this ahead of next year's legislative session. Earlier this year, Republicans wanted to add more restrictions. They didn't pass, but some are worried they'll be floated again. GOP supporters of the changes say it's a matter of election integrity. I'm Mike Moen.
In the 2020 election, nearly 62% of people with disabilities around the U.S. voted. That was up from 56% in 2016. And a new program in Ohio is focused on raising the voices of people in communities that consistently experience health disparities.
The Ohio Department of Health is awarding $6.8 million to fund projects in health improvement zones, which are neighborhoods that face the greatest risk of poor health outcomes. The department's chief health opportunity advisor, Jamie Carmichael, explains many Ohioans see poorer health outcomes and live shorter lives because of the community conditions where they live.
Things like access to quality education, quality housing, is there lead paint in your house? Are you safe in your home? Are you safe in your community? Are you experiencing toxic stress? All of those things can drive chronic disease or negative health outcomes.
About 20% of Ohioans live in a health improvement zone. Mary Sherman reporting.
Finally, Eric Tegadoff tells us gun violence is a major issue across the country. The work of a 20th century anthropologist could help people dive deeper into their own relationship with guns.
The Seattle-based Ernest Becker Foundation is having a webinar using a theory put forth by the group's namesake to explore the topic of gun violence. Becker's work involved death anxiety. University of Arizona professor Jeff Greenberg, who will be part of the webinar, says death anxiety compels a person's attraction to or fear of guns. But he says the fear of death can also cause people to cling tighter to their views on guns.
A big way that we keep a lid on our death anxieties is to believe that we are part of this meaningful world and that we have some significance in the context of this meaningful world.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, heard on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.